Thank you, Pastor Vegas. Yeah, Pastor Vegas got to see me grow up as a teenager through all of my ugly duckling phases. So she's seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in me, and she still chooses to be an amazing friend to me. Pastor Vegas is also my coworker, so she's seen me on my ugly days, and she's seen me on my good days, and she's been a great friend to me. So I make sure that when you see Vegas on Sunday, you give her a big hug and say thank you for being amazing, because she is an amazing friend, an amazing person to me. I'm just going to go ahead and open up in the service with a little bit of prayer. Is that okay with you guys? Dear God, we thank you for tonight's service. We thank you for the word that you've given me to speak, God, to your people. I pray that you would use me as a vessel, and I pray that you would replace my words with your words, God, of what you want to say to Hope Community. God, I pray that the seeds that are going to be planted tonight would take deep root in the hearts of your people, God, and that we would apply them into our lives, and that they would flourish, God, into a beautiful, beautiful tree of fruits in our life, God, what we hear tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Joel, on the keys, beautiful, beautiful keys. So I have a word for you guys tonight that I truly believe the Holy Spirit has put on my heart. One of the things that I feel the Holy Spirit has impressed deeply on my heart as a youth pastor here at this church is we haven't had youth services in a little bit. We haven't had youth services in a while, and I'm super sad about it because youth ministry is my heart and my passion, and I really miss meeting with the teenagers on a weekly basis. But I remember when we met at camp, the Holy Spirit dropped something heavy on my heart, and it was when you start meeting together again, when Sozo comes back together again, because right now we aren't meeting on a weekly basis, when Sozo meets back together again, I felt like I heard a word of instruction from the Holy Spirit, and that was to preach and teach stories in the Bible. Because the truth is, young people don't know a lot of stories in the Bible. They know a lot about what's going on, what the, you know, latest big YouTube trend, the biggest meme going out right now, but that's not going to change their life. What's going to change their life is knowing stories from the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to show you stories where you can either learn from their mistakes or you're going to learn from their accomplishments. And so it's really important for young people to draw wisdom from the Word of God. And what I want is my goal as a youth pastor is not that they join at 12 and then they leave at 18 and they're like, yeah, I heard a lot of good TED Talks from Shayla. I heard some really good, you know, pep talk messages that got me through, but at the end of the day, they don't know the Word of God. My goal as a youth pastor is to do nothing but pour the Word of God into them for all the years that I have them. If they have their butt in a seat at Sozo Youth, they're going to hear the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit really impressed on my heart, Shayla, do your youth know New Testament and Old Testament stories from the Word of God? And I was like, yeah, I think they do. I think they know a good amount. You know, we preach the Word of God every week. And then our guest speaker said, okay, I want whoever, our guest speaker at camp, he said, okay, if anyone knows a Bible verse, I want you to come up here and say the Bible verse. Say any Bible verse. And there wasn't a lot of people who ran up there. And the Holy Spirit used that to open my eyes to say, Shayla, your youth don't know the Word of God the way you think they do. Shayla, teach Old Testament and New Testament stories in the Bible, because that is what's going to change their life. Not your little cute quotes. The Word of God is going to change their lives. And make sure that you are causing them to want to memorize the Word of God, because that is what is going to change their lives. And so this message is really drawn out of that tonight, because when I felt that from the Holy Spirit, I was like, okay, God, well, I'm going to refresh myself on Old Testament stories and New Testament stories. Because I don't want to just pretend like I've heard the story a million times and I know everything about that story. I want to read it for myself and draw new wisdom out of it. Amen? So I went into the Old Testament and I was reading this story, and I was like, dang, this is a word. This is a word. And I believe that this is the word that God is speaking to his church tonight. So I want to share this Old Testament story with you. And I believe that as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, we are going to glean from this Old Testament story of what this prophet did and how we can act like that as well in our lives. Amen? So I encourage you guys to be reading your Bibles consistently, but especially some of the stories in the Bible. Then this story spoke to me very specifically. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I'll give you a little bit of context here. So Elijah just stepped off of Mount Carmel, where he taught all of the prophets of Baal who his God was, and he called down fire. Do you guys know this story? So he prays for fire, the fire shows up, bam, all the prophets of Baal, he actually slaughters them after he won that battle. And so he's feeling really good about what his God did. And it says that he went and he went away, and he felt like God was saying something to him, because they were in the middle of a drought during this time. They were in the middle of a drought, a 3.5-year drought. And Elijah hears the word from the Lord, and this is what he hears. This is verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." He gets this word that there is a sound of abundance of rain. He hears prophetically that there's rain coming, and they're in the middle of a drought, so he doesn't see the rain, but he senses it in his spirit that God is saying, "I hear the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and when Elijah went on top of Carmel, then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked, and he said, "There is nothing." And 7 times he said, "Go again." So get this word picture. He sends the servant, he says, "Is there any rain?" "No." And then he says, "Go again." And he says, "Go again, go again," 7 times. And then it came to pass, the 7th time, he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, who's the king, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab into the entrance of Jezreel. This is, I believe, the call of God that was on Elijah, to pray for the rain when he saw nothing. It's the exact same call that the Holy Spirit is pressing upon me to say to the church. Are you the kind of Christian where you pray, God, give me what I'm asking for. I pray your will be done. And when he answers by fire right away, you give him praise. But literally within moments, you pray for something else, and he doesn't give you the answer right away. And you're like, "Oh, well, then I guess my God isn't that great." Or are you the kind of Christian that says, "You know what? Go again." And then he comes back with a bad report. "Go again." And then he comes back with a bad report. And then he says, "Go again." And then he comes back with a bad report. And then he says, "Go again." 7 times. Elijah gets a bad report from his servant. There's no rain. There's no rain. There's no rain. There's no rain. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I pray, and when I don't see the answer within the first 2 times, I give up. But he heard the Lord of God say to him, "The rain is coming." When you hear a word from the Lord saying that it's coming, you can't give up based on what you see. Because if you give up based on what you see, then you'll forget what you heard from God. God told him, "The sound of abundance of rain is coming." Prophetically, in the spiritual realm, he heard the word of God. "I hear the sound of abundance of rain." And because of that, when he didn't see it, he said, "I don't care what I see. I know what I heard from God. I know what I heard from God." And the word from God is that it's coming. I'll be honest, church. I'll be honest. After the 2nd time, I would have been like, "Oh, maybe I missed it. Maybe I missed it." After the 3rd time, I would have been sad. I would have been like, "What?" But the same man who called down fire and God answered right away, with the same man, when he didn't get his answer right away, he kept believing. And he kept standing in faith. And he kept sending his servant back over and over and over. And I believe that we need to be a church. We need to be the body of Christ that prays, and we don't give up when we don't see it happen right away. When we don't get the fire that we wanted. We all say, "We serve a God of fire, yeah." But what about when we serve a God who's trying to teach us some patience? What about when we serve a God who says, "No, it's not time yet. It's not time yet, honey boo-boo. It's not the right time." Are we the beautiful bride of Christ who's patient and waiting and beautiful and getting herself ready as her groom is coming? Or are we the bratty girlfriend of Christ who's like, I want it now. I want it now. Have you all seen this? It's ugly. I don't watch a lot of TV shows, but sometimes I watch these TV shows of reality TV, and I feel bad for these men because there's a bratty girlfriend who's like, oh, babe, but what about now? But can we do it now? Huh? And they're bratty and they're ugly. And sometimes I feel like that can be us as the body of Christ. Are we beautiful and patient and waiting and preparing ourselves, and we're okay when God doesn't come when we want him to come? Or are we that bratty, ugly girlfriend who's like, well, I want it now. I want it now, God. We're called to be the patient, beautiful bride of Christ, not the bratty girlfriend of Christ. Amen. Elijah put his head between his knees. Elijah was an older man. He had no problem getting on his face and saying, God, I know what you told me. I know what I hear in the spiritual realm. I'm going to get down with passion and believe that what I heard was from you. And I'm going to continue to pray. We give up so easy sometimes. We give up so easy sometimes. When was the last time you got on your face and you put your head between your knees and you cried out for God to come? You guys, this is a time of drought right now in America. If you think that this is a time of prosperity, then you're spiritually blind. This is a time of drought right now in America. This is not the time for Christians to pretend like, well, if God doesn't answer right away, then I'm just going to give up on him. This is a time where Christians need to have an Elijah faithful spirit. I don't see it, I'm going to pray. I don't see it, I'm going to pray. I don't see it, I'm going to pray. And even if it comes back negative 6 times over, that we continue to contend for righteousness in our nation. We continue to pray. The reason that Elijah was so bold in his continuing to send the servant back was because he knew what he heard from God. He didn't let what he saw affect what he heard in his spirit from God. I hear the Spirit of God saying he wants revival in America. There's some things, the Word of God says that when we pray his will, when we pray his will, his righteous will, that's a prayer of a righteous man. When we pray his will, that's when it's fulfilled. We need to pray the will of God in our nation. Here's what I know. It's not the will of God for people to perish, so therefore I'm going to pray for salvation. Here's what I know. I know it's not the will of God for our nation to turn over and give to Marxist beliefs. I know it's not the will of God that this nation become confused in their gender. I know it's not the will of God for this nation to go into poverty and turn our backs on God. It might be his will. If we turn our backs on God, we probably will go into poverty. But I'm going to pray that we don't give up on God, that this is a nation that will come back. This is a nation that, but how will that happen? How will that happen if we don't pray his will, if we don't contend? We don't contend. Even with Abraham, he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, God, will you not spare it for 20? What about for 10? What about for 5? What about for 4? The reason Sodom and Gomorrah gave up is because there was no righteous men anymore. But we have righteous people that if we would contend, God will give mercy on America. God will have grace on America. There can be revival in America. The Holy Spirit can pour out on young people. There can be a spirit of confusion can leave. The spirit of division can leave. But only if there's Christians who say, I don't see it, but I know it's coming. I don't see it, but I know it's coming. Because I believe in my spirit that the word of God is that he wants to show grace on us and mercy on us, but only if there are not bratty Christians who say, well, I prayed once and nothing happened, so I guess that's it. It must be the will of the Lord for us all to be damned. No, it's not. We can be given mercy and grace, but only if we contend for those things. This is not the time for the church to fall asleep on our prayer lives, guys. This is not the time of the church to stop attending and stop fellowshipping. This is the time when we need to pray now more than ever. Ask yourself, when was the last time you got on your knees and you put your face out and you said, God, have mercy on us. God, I hear the sound of rain. I don't see it, but I'm calling it. I'm calling it, God. I'm calling it. And then he showed action behind it. He didn't just pray for it, but then he prayed and then he sent the servant out. He prayed and then he sent the servant out. He prayed and then he sent the servant out 6 times with a bad report until he got finally a good one on the 7th. Amen? I remember I was having a conversation with a family friend, and she said well, my sister, she's saved, and her kids are not really acting saved. They were brought up in church, but they're not acting saved. And she said, but I know I can't give up on them because I'm their mother. I can't give up on them. I can't give up now. Church, we can't give up now. We have to contend for the youth. We have to contend for our workplaces and for our family. We can't give up now. We have to be like those prayer warrior mothers and grandmothers who prayed their kids back into the church. Amen? And then we don't even know how long the intervals were between, you know, him getting a bad report. Maybe the servant came back every 5 minutes and he said no. Maybe every 30 minutes he said no. We don't know how long it took. Here's what I know. He was patient regardless. And every time he heard a no, he said, go back. Go back. I know what you see, but I also know what I heard. And I guarantee you he was praying in between each time because he knew, well, I got to wait for the servant to come back anyways. I know I'm going to send him out again. I might as well just pray and contend. Amen. I want to go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart. We can't lose heart because right now our nation doesn't look like it's going the right way. We can't lose heart because it seems like our church services are getting smaller every Sunday because of COVID. We can't lose heart because our governor is continuing to do another shutdown. We can't lose heart. We can't lose heart. It says that if will us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap it. In due season. When you plant a seed, you don't see it for a long time. You don't see it pop out of the ground for a long time. There's all of winter season. It's just chilling in the ground and you can't see anything. But guess what? Something's happening under the surface. Something's growing. Something's coming. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that something's not happening, church. Just because it's the sixth time that you've prayed for it. What is God asking you to revisit a seventh time in your prayer life? Amen? What is God re-asking you to continue to pray for? Amen? Ooh. If we have to continue to hear what God is saying, Elijah said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. If we go based off what we see, we will die in a drought. If I go based off of what I see right now, America will die in a drought. But I know what I have heard, and I'm not going to base it off of what I see. Least I die in a drought. It takes a huge amount of faith to send that servant back, guys. Remember Pastor G talked about on Sunday how he asked Leslie Kegel, how do you raise someone from the dead? It's so much faith that is required to say, let the dead be raised. It takes so much faith. To speak to the servant, go out again, go out again, go out again. What if we are called to build our faith in the seasons where we don't see God moving, and when we continue to contend when we don't see him moving, that's how faith is stirred up in us. You say, well, Shayla, what? What are you talking about? Why wouldn't God give it to me right away? That's not how God works, guys. A lot of the time, God doesn't give us things right away. If God answered everything that I prayed for the way I wanted it to be answered, God help me. There were so many things that I prayed for, and God answered it in a completely different way than I thought, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. So many things that I prayed for when I wasn't ready for it, and I'm glad that God let it simmer. I'm glad that God didn't give it to me on the second time I asked or the third time I asked. I'm glad that he didn't give it to me in the wrong time. I'm happy for it because it built up faith in me. Because it built up faith. That's what God does, guys. If you don't believe me, there's so many times in the Bible where God does this kind of like, you know, it's not time yet, it's not time yet, it's not time yet. I'll show you an example. How many times did the Israelites go around Jericho, huh? On day one? On day two, on day three, on day four, on what day did they feel like absolute idiots? Like, you know, God told us to do it, but here we are again, and it's still not done. God told us to do it, but we're doing it again, and it's still not done. God said that we're supposed to do this screaming thing and this walking thing, and somehow it's going to win, and it's still not done. God was teaching them something. Just because it's not done in your timing when you want to see it doesn't mean I'm not moving. He wants to see if we're willing to be obedient. And sure enough, what happened on the final day of Jericho? The walls came down. What happened when he told the king to dip 7 times? He didn't want to dip in that dirty river water. And what did he do? He went 1, nothing happened. 2, nothing happened. 3, nothing happened. At what dip did he feel, once again, like he was wasting his time? But on the 7th dip, what happened? He came up and he was completely healed. God does not always answer immediately. And I can't give you the exact reason why. Here's what I know. It builds our faith when we act in obedience. And we say, God, whether it happens right away and you call down fire like with Elijah, or whether you're going to heal me like the blind man and you just wipe it on and wipe it off and it's done. I don't know how you're going to answer this prayer. I don't know even if you're going to answer this prayer if this is your will. But I'm going to pray what I know is your will and believe and continue to pray because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And I'm going to be that person who is the bride of Jesus Christ, beautifully preparing myself for the day that you come back, God, for the day that you come back. What about when the Holy Spirit, or when Jesus told the disciples, hey, I want you to wait in the upper room, and I want you to just wait. On day 1, they were like, okay, Jesus told us to wait here. Nothing happened. On day 7, okay, Jesus told us to wait here. Nothing's going on. How long did they just sit in a room and pray and look at each other and maybe eat together? And they're like, is anything going to happen? Have you ever thought about that? How much patience it takes to sit in a room for weeks on end and just wait for God to move? There's so many examples in the Bible, but yet the modern church says if God doesn't answer it right away, then oh well, I guess he doesn't want to do it. Oh well, I'm going to give up the faith. Oh well, I guess God doesn't care. Over and over and over and over in the Bible, we see stories where people have to wait because God is doing something underneath the surface. So who are we to think that we can just put God on a timer and if he doesn't answer in our time, that whatever, he doesn't care about us. God has been, even in this season in my life, he's been stirring up my faith. The Word of God says that you can ask for faith. Did you know that? The Word of God says if you lack faith, to pray for it. It says that you should ask for the gifts. And it says the gift that you should ask for the most is prophecy. But in that list of gifts that you can ask for is faith. And so I've been saying, God, stir up my faith. God, give me more faith. God, help me to have more faith and trust in you. And one of the ways he's been showing me to build my faith is to read stories like this. Because it shows me, hey, Shayla, look how Elijah had to act in faith. Look how the Israelites have to act in faith. Look how the disciples have to act in faith. It builds my faith knowing, hey, I'm not the only one who didn't get my prayer answered right away. It builds our faith, amen? We're supposed to ask for more faith. And so in this season, I've been asking for more faith. And I've been saying, there's this lie that came into my head that I've really believed for a while now, that God blesses other people and finances, but he doesn't bless me. Because I really feel like every time I prayed for God to bless my finances, that this is honestly how I felt. I felt like this is a stupid prayer because God's never blessed me financially. I mean, like he's maybe that one time or, that was really cool, but God doesn't really care about my finances. And that's something that I started to believe. And I was talking with my prayer accountability partner about this. I said, it's really hard for me to pray for God to bless my finances because I feel like I'm a silly girl when I ask for it. I feel like God doesn't care about my finances. And she said, we're going to pray against that lie, and we're going to ask God to build your faith, to believe that he cares about every area of your life, including your finances, Shayla. Maybe he's not going to make you a millionaire tomorrow, but he does care. He does want you to not have to beg in poverty. He's going to take care of you. So let's not believe a lie. I'm not saying I'm poor. I'm just, what I'm saying. I'm just, God doesn't want me to be impoverished. And so I said, yeah, okay. And then I prayed for that, and there's been very specific things I've been praying for. And I've been challenging that with my prayer accountability partner, which, by the way, you should have one. You should have someone that you can call up, and you can always pray with them. And you can tell them what you're struggling with, and you can tell them what false beliefs you have, and you can tell them what you need prayer for in that moment. And so I told my prayer accountability partner this, and she said, okay, well, we're going to pray against, you know, some of those lies you believe about God, about how he doesn't care about your finances, and let's just come in agreement, and let's pray together, okay? Let's contend. I said, okay. So I, you know, broke that off. I said, in the name of Jesus, help me to believe what you believe about me, God. Help me to trust you in my finances. Help me not be tempted by Satan to stop tithing, because I believe, because that's really, that's what's going to happen next, is if I start to believe God doesn't care about my finances, if I start to believe God doesn't care about me, it's only a matter of time before I'm going to start, you know what I'm saying, not tithing and not trusting him with my finances. And so before that comes to pass, I want to take care of it now. And so I said, okay, pray with me. We prayed. And she said, I just believe that God's going to show you, he's going to challenge you in this lie. He's going to challenge you in this lie you're believing. And sure enough, I swear, Angel, is this not true? This month, God has blessed me in so many ways financially. So many ways, like random texts, random phone calls saying like, hey, Shayla, you got this gig. I'm like, whoa, I haven't had a gig all year. It's 2020. Like, no one's hiring me to speak at churches right now because it's 2020 and I got like a random gig. And then I got a random blessing from a friend just saying, hey, I want to do this for you for free. And then I got another blessing saying, hey, I want to do this for you for free. And they've just been popping up. And I'm like, God, you're really challenging this fake lie that I believe. But how did that first start to happen? How did that lie begin to be uprooted? Because I spoke out in faith and I said, you know what? In the name of Jesus, I'm going to ask that God would meet me in this. I'm going to ask him, because maybe I haven't seen it come to pass, you know, in years before, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to say, God, this is a lie I believe. Help me not to believe this anymore. And he has come to pass. He's come to pass. Amen. I love what it says, and this is actually the title of my message, which is I See a Cloud. I See a Cloud is the title of my message, and I love this. This will build up your faith more than anything else in this story. It builds my faith that he got on his knees and he prayed. It builds my faith that he sent the messenger back over and over. But what builds my faith and what challenges me the most is that when he saw a cloud that was the size of a man's hand, which if there, I don't know if you guys, we've never had a drought for this long, but if you've ever been in a season of drought, what they'll tell you is there really aren't any clouds in the sky. The sky is just blue and you can't see any clouds at all. But when the servant came back and he said, I see a cloud, but, you know, it's just an itty bitty cloud. It's just a, you know, in a giant blue sky, a little cloud the size of a hand is not a big cloud at all. And you know what Elijah's response was? You better run before you get caught in a rainstorm. You might not even make it if you don't get your chariots to start running now. If you don't start running now, you might get caught in the rain. That's literally what Elijah's response was. Why? Because he just had to see a little bit of it come to pass. And he knew that was enough to know that the word of the Lord that came to him was true. How many times do we as Christians, we see a little cloud, you know, we're praying for, maybe you're praying for your daughter or your son to be saved. You're praying. They come to church once and then they don't come the next week and you're like, God didn't answer my prayer. No, don't you see that cloud? They came once. That's a little bit of cloud of hope that they heard the word of God and that it was planted in them. And we don't know when the storm's going to come. We don't know necessarily when they're going to come to Jesus Christ. But here's what we know. You saw a little bit of cloud of hope. Why are you giving up? Elijah could have just as easily said, oh, it's just a little cloud. Thanks, God. A cloud. I kind of prayed for a storm. I thought I heard the sound of abundance of rain, not a little drizzle. I thought I heard you say that rain was coming. A cloud? A little one? He could have just as easily had that reaction, but he didn't. He said, you see a cloud? Oh, you better get running, boy, because it's only a matter of time before the storm comes. It literally says that Elijah outran the chariot. It said he ran past the chariot because he knew the rain was coming. He only had to see a little bit of hope, a little bit, for him to believe and cling on to what he heard from God. When you see a little bit of hope, you know, don't give up on that. God is saying it's coming. It's coming. What I said will come to pass. Don't give up on it because you didn't see the full picture right away. Thank God for the little cloud that you do see now. Thank God
But he's saying, I'm coming. You didn't hear me wrong. The abundance of rain is here. I believe that as the bride of Christ, as the church of Jesus Christ, we have a little cloud in the distance. Do you know what that little cloud is? Jesus. He is our hope, and Jesus said, I'm coming back. We might not see him now. We might not be able to see Jesus in the flesh, but here's our little cloud that we see in the distance. Jesus said he's coming back. Jesus said, I am your hope. Jesus said, cling to me until I come back. My Holy Spirit, walk in the Holy Spirit until I come back. And that should be enough for us to start running. That should be enough for us to say, okay, God, I don't see it, but I know you're coming back. I only have so much time. I only have one life here on this earth. And because of that, even though I don't see the rain now, I see a cloud, and that cloud is the hope of Jesus Christ. And because I know he's coming back, I have to run now. I have to treat my generation, my world, my family, my church, my workforce, as if I only have so much time. I have to run now. I don't know. Maybe you have no cloud yet. Maybe you're on the fourth time of the servant coming back and saying, nope, nothing. Maybe you do have a little bit of cloud of hope. I don't know what you're praying for. I don't know. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. You are called to continue to believe what you heard from God, what you know is his will, and not based off of what you see. I know that you are called to be an Elijah who praises God. What if we were the church that praised God when he answered by fire, but we also praised God when he didn't give us anything seven times? And when we did get something, it was just a little smidgen of a cloud. What if we rejoice the same way, both ways? What if we started building our faith and saying, okay, God, I don't see anything. This feels like my fourth wrap around the wall. This feels like my sixth dip. This feels like my 10th day in the upper room. This feels like I'm still waiting. But it's not going to change the faith that I'm building. It's not going to change what I believe is coming, God. Even last night, I was like, God, you know, I feel like this is, you know, a word from you, but are you sure this is enough? Are you sure this is what you want to speak to his church, your church? And I felt the word of the Lord say, yep, this is for my church. This morning I prayed. I'm not over-exaggerating. I feel like I heard the Holy Spirit say, this is what my people need to hear today. They need to hear that there is a sound of abundance of rain, and they need to be in Elijah, get on their face in prayer. And when they don't see it on the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth time, that they continue to contend because there is a sound of abundance of rain. And when they see the cloud, they better run. When you see the cloud, you better run. Where's the clouds in your life that God is saying, I'm here, I'm here. Start running, amen? I just want to pray over us. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would be a people that is the bride of Christ, not the ugly girlfriend of Christ. That we are the prophet that says, yeah, God, when you answer me right away, I'm going to praise you. And when you don't answer until the seventh time, I'm going to praise you. We are the patient people that are willing to get on our face, put our face between our knees and say, God, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to continue to pray till I see it come to pass. God, may we be a people that don't give up on our nation, don't give up on our generation, don't give up on our church, don't give up on our family, God. But that we continue to pray, we continue to intercede, God. Listen to that word, intercede. This is a time where God is asking us to intercede. Who is going to pray for our nation but us? Who is going to pray for your family but you? Who is going to pray for your generation? Who is going to do it? We have to not grow weary. God, we pray that you help us to not grow weary in doing good. I don't know about you guys, but I feel weary after 2020. I'm tired of having to have services outside. I'm tired of having to continue to put up with all these updates of what's next with COVID. What is Newsom's new decree? I'm tired
of going on YouTube and Instagram and all these platforms, and everyone just seems so confused by their what the lies of the enemy that's coming into their mind, what their sexuality is, what their gender is, what I'm tired of it all. God, I pray that you help us not to grow weary in doing good, but that we would reap a harvest in due season because of our faithfulness, God. Help us to stay faithful. Help me to stay faithful. God, I pray that you give us more faith. Your word says that we can ask for faith. We can pray for faith, God. So every single believer who's watching this message at home, if you want your faith to increase, I want you to just, you know, put your hand on your heart and say, God, increase my faith. I'm sorry for the times I doubted you. I'm sorry for the times I acted like a brat. I want to believe that you are good and you care about me. And when I don't get things my way, it's okay. Help me to put my full trust in you. Increase my faith, God. Your word says we can pray for faith. We can request faith. So God, we request that you build our faith. I don't know if you know this, but what that means now is that God's going to give you opportunities for you to increase your faith. You asked for it. And now God's going to give you opportunities to increase your faith. God's not going to just automatically give it to you. A lot of the time, well, sometimes he does, but most of the time, God gives you opportunities for you to increase your faith. So I'm going to, like I was vulnerable with you guys. God needed to increase my faith for what I believed in my finances. And he gave me opportunities to admit to my prayer partners that I was failing, and opportunities to have to pray when it was even hard for me to believe. And I prayed and I believed. I told my prayer partners where I was failing and sinning, honestly, because I had doubt in my heart. And God came through and it built my faith. And I want that for you guys. I want you to think about what you are doubting God in today. I definitely feel like there's someone watching, because every single time I thought of an example, this was the only thing that popped in my head, and so I'm going to believe this is the Holy Spirit. But I believe that there's someone watching who you're contending for your children. Your children are not saved. Your grandchildren are not saved, and they've walked away from the church, and it's hurting your heart. And the Holy Spirit, every single time I was trying to think of an example of someone who has to continue to contend, I kept getting that word of like, a mother who's praying for their children to come back. You know, a mother and father who are just interceding for their kids or for their grandkids to come back. That's what I kept sensing every time I tried to come up with a good example. And so I believe that's the Holy Spirit saying that there's someone who is just growing weary and praying for your kids, growing weary and praying for your grandkids to come back. And I believe the word of the Lord would say to you, don't grow weary. If you don't pray for them, no one will. It's you. It's on you. Take it as a privilege that you can contend for their faith, that you can continue to fight the good fight. And the Holy Spirit would say to you, don't grow weary in praying for them. For in due season, you will reap a harvest. Amen? Continue inviting them. Continue loving on them. Continue praying for them. And I just want to, if whatever thing that you doubt God in, you know, whatever thing you're growing weary in, just think about what it is, because we all have one area of our life. Don't anyone pretend like you don't got something, because I know everyone's got something they doubt in sometimes, or everyone can think of one thing that you've just said, oh, I haven't seen it four times, and this is a fifth time now I've asked, and you're just starting to doubt that God cares about that area, or that God can do it, or whatever it is. Think about what that is. And I just want you to take your hand like it is the cloud of the size of a man's fist in the sky. And you say, God, I might not be able to see it yet, but I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And I'm giving it to you. And I might not see it, but I hear it. And I trust you.
I trust your word. And if there is anything that I am hoping for that is not your will, uproot it out of me. But if it is your will, God, I pray that you would help me not grow weary in doing good, and that this would come to pass. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. That is the word of the Lord, amen.